Welcome back to Hour 2 of the Hollywood Casino Press Box, featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
We are broadcasting live from the Schnucks in Dardenne. Come on by and have some of this Sonora Bacanora. It's a new product from Mexico and based in Gerald, Missouri. It's kind of a chocolate cream with some alcohol in it. It's outstanding. We have some great sausages. We have ham from Frick's. It's a great place to be on a Friday afternoon. But Winnipeg is the place to be on a Friday night, and that's where Chris Kerber will be broadcasting Game 2, Blues and Jets. He joins us now. Chris, great to be with you. How are you?
I'm doing great. I think you just created a new slogan for their Chamber of Commerce. Winnipeg is the place to be on Friday night.
If there's hockey.
Yes.
Good point. Because, fellas, it's snowing up here this morning.
Oh, my goodness. How about that atmosphere? I know they only put in 15,000 in that building, but that must have been one of the loudest buildings you've been in a while.
No, I'm gonna be real honest with you. And I actually think the atmosphere at Enterprise Center come playoff time is even better. I'm telling you, like, it's loud, but it's loud because the roof is right down on top of you. Part of the atmosphere in this building is because a sellout crowd is 15,200, and yeah, they're all wearing white shirts. We've seen whiteouts by the Coyotes and by other teams. I'm going to tell you, and I mean this because I've seen it. The open that the St. Louis Blues are going to do on Sunday night and open up the playoffs on Sunday night with a terrific light show is going to absolutely blow away what was done here the other night. And that's not bias; that's just fact, guys. So yeah, listen, it was a good atmosphere in this building. They sit there all right on top of you because it is a smaller venue, but I don't know that the atmosphere is necessarily all that intimidating because of it.
All right, Kerbs, you're a bit of a Blues historian, hockey historian. Not that you're older, but you've been around a little bit. Frank and I were trying to think, how often does a coach get into it with players on the opposing team? The video of Chief going off the ice, barking at a few of the Winnipeg players, has got a lot of play around here. We love it. Can you think very often of players and coaches kind of jawing or going back and forth?
Oh, I've seen coaches go at it. The most recent one comes to mind with Patrick Waugh and Bruce Boudreau, when Waugh was with Colorado. Playoff-wise, not off the top of my head. But what happens here in this rink, guys, is the players' bench side, okay, whereas at Enterprise Center, the Blues leave right near the bench. And the Winnipeg Jets here in Winnipeg leave behind their bench. But the exit for the St. Louis Blues and entrance is across the ice. It's in the corner. It'd be the same. It'd basically be like as if on home ice the St. Louis Blues were leaving where the Zamboni leaves. So the coaches have to go across the ice to get there. Well, with some of that rough stuff going on, the coach had to walk across the ice. He must have heard something. I didn't bother asking because I knew he wouldn't tell us anyway. But I loved Alexander Steen's I think it was Alexander Steen that had the quote that said, well, he's got to get on the ice to get off the ice, so I guess things are going to happen. But, I do think that this team has definitely picked up some of the persona of its coach.
Didn't Alexander Steen get punched at the end of that game, too, on Tuesday night?
Yeah, you know what, Frank? I still haven't seen full Winston. Video of everything because I was watching. You had the save with 12 seconds to go. Then it ends. Then you're watching guys, and I saw Berube walking across, and then I saw Liney chirping. And then Tarasenko kind of go towards Line A, and it was Oscar Sundquist that pulled Tarasenko and got in the way of Tarasenko and Line A. Like, so I don't know exactly where it started. I saw Petrangelo kind of jump in the mix, but I think that was all part of it.
And, Kerbs, when it's a playoff series, I sort of need a Seabrook or a Maltby on the other side. We were sold maybe Adam Lowry could be that guy. Is there a guy on their team that you think will eventually get under our skin, will become public enemy number one for the Blues fans?
Yeah, Adam Lowry could be a good one on along that side kind of thing. You know what? Mark Scheifele is a clean player, but a hard-nosed one, and he seemed to kind of be willing to kind of get in the middle and mix it up a little bit. So, you know, my bet would probably be on the two of them, but, I could see some battles with Adam Lowry coming. A terrific young man whose dad played over 300 games for the Blues, by the way, and has that kind of role for the Winnipeg Jets.
I want to get your take on the kind of the redemption story of Pat Maroon, who battled injuries early in the year and just wasn't the same Pat Maroon he has been for most of his career. He had maybe the moment of the night in game one. Just kind of a reflection on Pat Maroon's season.
Well, you know, he also had some surgery on his back in the offseason. And, guys, I had a similar surgery last June, you know, that he had. And I can tell, I mean, there's no way in the world I would have been ready. Of course, I don't have some of the physique that he did. But my point is knowing a little bit about some of the recovery that it took, it wasn't something that was talked about very much. But then he was really one, Frank, where he was a product of the team play maybe as much as anybody out there. And, yes, you can make the case that the team was also a product of his play, and that's also fair. But he doesn't have the speed to overcome some of the turnovers. His game is that grind-it-down-low, forecheck style of game. And when the passing from the D weren't on the tape, to lead through the zone with speed, causing turnovers, guys without that speed can get caught and look pretty bad. And remember, this entire team looked that slow at that point in time. Once the game started to pick up and they're getting the puck in deep, you saw the effectiveness. And I'll make the case that there was nobody better in the league in the last 2 months of the season holding on to the puck and making plays down low than he was. And the exact play that you saw on that game-winning goal by Bozak was exactly what makes him three Winnipeg Jets couldn't get the puck away from him. It was outstanding. And when you look in the end, Frank, he finished with 28 points. He finished just shy of 30 points. His goals and assists are pretty much right in line with where his career totals have been when you take out the anomaly of the 27-goal season playing with Connor McDavid. For the value of $1.75 million on a one-year contract, I think he actually might have gotten a steal on that one. And there's nobody else on this team that will play that style. I don't think there's anybody else on the team in the system right now that you can count on to play that style. I think they hope that a Sammy Blais can. I think they hope that a Zach Sanford can, and I think they hope that a Mackenzie McEachern can. But none of them have Pat's offensive cachet right now in the National Hockey League. So I think he's an extremely valuable player, and the Blues right now are getting exactly what they thought they'd get when they signed him.
You win a game in the playoffs where Tarasenko, O'Reilly, Shen, the top line we talked so much about, didn't have to do the heavy lifting. I think that was a concern late in the year. If you become too dependent on that top line, are you seeing with Winnipeg, are they trying to specifically take out a Tarasenko or make sure he's not the difference maker? Could you tell that in game one?
Yeah, different types of heavy lifting can be done. And while they did not score, they did have some chances. And I can tell you, they did a great job of checking the other team's top line off the score sheet as well. And that's really the important part. Patrick Laine was on the right wing on their third line, guys. So, and that's something that the Jets were talking about both yesterday and today, is they're trying to say, hey, do we try to get their top line, because they'll have the second change here. They have the last change on home ice. Do they try to get their top line away from that line because Ryan O'Reilly has been so good as a defensive forward this season in the NHL? And we'll have to see if they try to make that change. But at that point in time, and you know that they're going to be that hard on them, if that line stays even, you can go plus on another line and win a series and win a game. And that's exactly what the St. Louis Blues did in game one.
Chris, who jumped out at you from the defensive point of view from the Blues? What defenseman was outstanding in game one?
I really thought that Jay Bouwmeester had a terrific game and Colton Parayko had a terrific game. I thought those guys were great in that contest, that just as we expected them to be. When they started skating with the puck and a couple rushes up the ice when Colton Parayko started skating and you saw him move right through. I mean, they couldn't catch him. Ben Chiarot, he started barreling down on Ben Chiarot. Chiarot couldn't catch him. I mean, it was just an awesome display of skating to see. And I thought those two guys were excellent. And in this series, because of the size, they're going to have to be good. And one of the things that the Jets have talked about yesterday and today, and thanks for making the adjustment on the time, guys. We were in the Jets room at 11:30 when we tried to do this first. They were talking about the Blues jabbing them at the blue line. They've got to get the puck in deep and make the Blues defense turn and go after it. Well, that's going to be a bigger challenge on the Blues defense here tonight.
And, Chris, I think if you look at game one, you'd say the Blues played pretty well, but they didn't play out of their heads or out of their minds. I mean, do you think they've got a level tonight they can get to where they weren't? I mean, in terms of you've seen them play all year, I think they could play even better than they did in game one.
Yeah, and if they don't, you're going to lose game two. And that's the way a playoff series is going to go. Because of the familiarity, because of the comfort level, certain confidences are going to build, certain question marks will come in. But the St. Louis Blues know that the Jets are going to bring it even more. And if the Jets can be more successful in that last sequence we just talked about of getting the puck in deep, then the plays off the glass and the support of the forwards coming back into the zone is going to have to be cleaner for the Blues. So I agree with you, Mark. There's some other levels that they can get to, and they're going to have to get to because, you know, that's game one was just feel it out. I don't think either team's near where they could be yet.
So you have been a part of some very good Blues regular season teams, some teams that you probably have gone into the playoffs with and had a great feeling. But can you picture or remember a team that, you know, you factor in the way they finish that you've been more confident about in terms of making a long postseason run? Is this about as good as you felt entering the postseason?
Yeah, I think, you know, you go back to those teams in the early 2000s. Where the young group that won the President's Trophy in the 99-2000 season, that was the year before I got here, but then it kind of grew up a little bit. And 2003 might have really been the best team and the chance to win the Stanley Cup, and then a sickness could really caught him in that opening round series against Vancouver, who just had that 3-1 lead, and then the series won. Well, what you have here is you have, I think, the best offensive depth since those teams, and I don't know, you don't have a Pronger and a McInnes, but top to bottom, I think you've got the best defensive depth since those teams. And you're extremely strong down the middle, and that, I think, is the big key. So as strong as they are down the middle now, is a real positive here. So what really gives you hope about this team, Frank, is just there's a collective calm about them, and the way the season's gone over the last 2 months, a collective confidence, too. And you're seeing it in the room where it's pretty much business as usual. That's what gives you some real confidence that they could do something. Now, look, that feeling can totally go away if you have a bad game, too. So you got to love kind of what the emotions of the playoffs can do to you.
All right, here's an unfair question, Chris. Give me a pick to click tonight. Somebody you think is going to break out or has a big game, just your gut.
I'm sticking with my same guy I did the other day, guys. I thought Jaden Schwartz played a really good game, and I'm going to still go to him being a key swing player in this series.
Good stuff, Chris. We'll be listening tonight. Thanks so much. We'll see you this weekend.
Okay, guys. Have a great day. Enjoy it out there, and we'll see you at the rink on Sunday.
All right. Chris Kerber joining us, brought to you by Petromart. Petromart is a locally owned and operated family business that's been serving the St. Louis area for 30 years. Each location is just as clean, fast, and friendly as the next, with 50 locations to serve you. In a hurry, Petromart offers a wide selection of grab-and-go food items like hot and ready pizza, fresh fruit, and salads. Petromart has something for everybody, and it's always prepared fresh. Martin, what do you have coming up in the Coveted Hour?
Coveted Hour, well, on Fridays, Brian likes to point out it's the pregame show.
You are an opening act for the show.
Correct.
That matters.
Correct. This is like preseason football next hour. Yes. It's the Coveted Hour midday grind. We are live at the Schnucks Dardenne Prairie right off Highway K, real close to the Page Extension. If you're in the area, I suggest you stop by not only to get your ham, but to sample some of the food. The wings have arrived. We've got Italian sausage, and I've been sort of snacking. These are kind of like energy bars, I believe.
They're, okay.
It's kind of
what they are. Low on sugar, I'm sure.
It's maybe a peanut butter Rice Krispie chocolate treat.
Oh.
It's highly, highly addictive. So stop by if you're in the area.
I want to mention the free Dotem Open taking place on May 30th and 31st at Normandy Golf Club. Foursome still available for Thursday, May 30th. $500 gets you golf for you and three friends, lunch, booze, and the opportunity to meet Lisa Ann, who will be in attendance. There is a limited quantity available, so do not wait. All you got to do is go to eventbrite.com and type in free Dotem in the search bar to purchase your tickets today.
All right, we'll come back here live at Schnucks. It's the Midday Grind on deck.